The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning and welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health. Today, we're going to be talking about family medicine and why it's so essential for your health and wellness. And we have two very special guests, and they are Dr. Anita Softness. Dr. Softness practices full-spectrum family medicine for children and adults, including women's health and prenatal care, focusing on prevention, wellness, and managing chronic conditions. She also supervises the New Vance Health Family Medicine Residents Outpatient Training. And our other guest is Dr. Shashout Oja. Dr. Oja is the Chief Resident for Family Medicine Residents at Northern Dutchess Hospital in Rhinebeck. He is a forever learner with a passion for medicine, fitness, sports, wellness, and community health. Dr. Oja graduated from St. George's University and plans on doing a fellowship in sports medicine next year. So maybe when we turn on the NFL games, we'll see Dr. Oja there eventually with a great job. So Dr. Softness, Dr. Oja, welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio.
Thank you.
So let's begin with the basics, if we can. What is modern family medicine, and how has it evolved over time in your experience?
Well, maybe I'll answer that one since I'm the older of the two of us. So family medicine evolved from the GP, you know, the old-fashioned general practitioner, and it evolved from a need to have a general physician that was better trained and could, you know, has kept up with modern educational advances. So the specialty was founded in the 1960s to create, you know, general doctors with you know, strong training and education in taking care of the entire family, including prevention and managing acute complaints and also chronic conditions.
Mm-hmm. And so how does, in terms of education in med school, is it that they try to give you a little bit of enough knowledge of all the areas of the human body and conditions to allow you to at least, you know, provide a really good foundation for what may come next? Or do you delve into any one particular area?
So in medical school, everybody is taught the same information all across mm-hmm. the United States. Mm-hmm. So in medical school, you get all the same information. But then after medical school is when you pick something a little bit more narrow. So family medicine is a little bit narrower scope than just medical school as a whole. So when you choose your residency in family medicine, you're making a decision that you're going to be, you know, taking care of a community or doing family-oriented type of things rather than a cardiologist, for example, who has to do their residency in internal medicine and then they have to specialize in just heart stuff. So, you know, there's different types of residencies all across the country, but family medicine is a more of a it's got a little bit of everything. You're right about that, but it doesn't start in medical school. Medical school is just a lot of information all at once. But then after medical school, when you decide what type of residency program you want to go to, that's when you choose family medicine and you're choosing that for various reasons.
So the analogy would be, even though it's not a degree analogy, would be kind of like the graduate part of it, right?
Yeah.
And so on that note, a perfect segue, Dr. Oja, why did you choose to be in family medicine? What attracted you to that area?
Yeah, I chose family medicine mainly because I value the diversity of patients and the ability to build long-term relationships with them. You can't really do that as well in most other specialties. I also enjoy the challenge of treating like a wide range of medical issues rather than just seeing the same stuff over and over. And then we get to promote overall wellness, too, on top of all that. We're not just taking care of what walks in through the door every day, but we're also preventing a lot of things from happening. So, you know, it allows me to make a meaningful impact on individuals, families, and the community as a whole. So as a lifelong learner, as you mentioned earlier, this was always the path that I was going to go down. And then to further extrapolate on that, I also chose family medicine because I enjoy sports, and I've always wanted to be a sports medicine physician. And one of the ways to become a sports medicine physician is to choose between mainly three different residencies. You can be an internal medicine doctor, a family medicine doctor, or a emergency medicine doctor. So I went down the family medicine route to get to sports medicine.
And how about you, Dr. Softness? What attracted you to become a family physician?
I was interested in just taking care of the whole patient, and I didn't want to specialize in just one body system. So when I would see a patient come through the door, I just wanted to approach the patient as a whole, and family medicine allows you to do that. And I also was always interested in community medicine, and family medicine is the specialty that is most is just the easiest place to start looking at community health, because you're looking at not just an individual, but you look at an individual, you know, in the setting of their family and the family dynamics, and also how the community affects health, you know, the social determinants of health, and those sort of other factors. So family medicine as a specialty tries to be very holistic in taking care of the entire patient. We have received, you know, some training in behavioral medicine and psychosocial factors. So we also take care of a lot of mental health issues, especially because there's such a shortage of mental health providers. So family medicine gives a physician, you know, the training and the flexibility to really meet the patient where they're at and try to address whatever is affecting the patient's health the most.
And Dr. Oja, you touched on prevention, the importance of prevention, as an outsider, it always seemed to me that that the medical system, so to speak, was really more focused on what happens when you already become ill, or people go to the doctor when they're not feeling well. But we know that me in the health department, you in the professional medical practice, we know how important prevention is. And so along those lines, what do you do personally, and what does your practice do really to foster a culture of prevention and really give patients real tools that they can use?
Well, you know, prevention is central to family medicine. Some of the things we do, we focus on screenings. You know, there's certain guidelines we follow to make sure patients are sought after in taking care of, you know, like whether it's a mammogram that's about to come up, a pap smear that's they're due for, a colonoscopy they need soon. We keep track of all of that. So we focus on screenings. We also keep track of vaccinations, making sure when someone is due for what. And, you know, those changes over as you age, you require different vaccinations, different age groups require different vaccinations. And we make sure to focus on all of that as far as prevention goes. And lifestyle counseling is something we also do that not a lot of other specialties focus on. And, you know, a lot of the times, a lot of the problems can be fixed with lifestyle counseling. So what that entails is, you know, exercise and diet. And yeah, it's easy to say focus on your diet and exercise, but we really take the time to explain to each patient, you know, what specifically they need to do in order to fix that. So, yeah, and we also work closely with patients to set personalized wellness goals. You know, it's not realistic for one person to have the same goals as another one. So we really try to get to the bottom of what everybody needs. That's really what we do as a practice as a whole. We take the time to really make sure we take care of the patient and not just the numbers and the lab values that we see in front of us.
Mm-hmm. And I think I know the answer to this next question, that how important is the collaborative process? And I mean by that is patients taking an active role as a co-equal partner with a professional. So it's not just the expert telling the patient, this is what you ought to do, but really collaborating so that both people have obviously a vested interest. How important do you think that is?
It's really important, as you suggested, and especially when you talk about prevention, where you're asking the patient to do certain behavior changes that for things in the future, you know, to keep themselves healthy in the future. That's not easy because patients have other more immediate concerns. So we try to use, you know, certain techniques like motivational interviewing that puts a lot of emphasis on what the patient really thinks is most important and the type of changes the patient feels comfortable making. You know, for a lot of doctors, you know, we like to give advice and we're kind of trained to tell people what to do, and I'm sure we still do that more than we should, but in family medicine, we're really trained to take a step back and use other techniques that allow the patient to control a lot of these decisions.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, that hearing, you know, that when patients hear something from a doctor, healthcare provider, it carries a little bit more weight than if they maybe just read an article and online or whatever about healthy eating or diet or exercise, whatever. I think, you know, you guys are a trusted source, and I hope we are too in the health department. This is a really great topic, and I'm sure our listeners want to hear a lot more. But first, we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We'll be back after these words.
Westchester Medical Center Health Network's new Health Alliance Hospital is open in Kingston at 105 Mary's Avenue. The new hospital delivers on WMC Health's commitment to provide access to advanced healthcare right here in this community. Our comfortable and welcoming new Health Alliance Hospital has highly skilled doctors, nurses, and staff. We are ready to make your healthcare experience the best it can be. Here are just a few of the services ready to take care of you and your loved ones when you need us. A new emergency department with 24/7 triage for behavioral health needs, life-saving advanced cardiology programs, family birth center, private rooms, precise imaging technology, critical care support, and later this year, our inpatient psychiatry program will be reestablished to complement existing emergency and outpatient programs. Go to hahv.org for information. That's hahv.org.
The Asian long-horned beetle is an invasive insect, a black and white tree-eating menace. It's here in our area, eating holes in our trees. Perfectly round holes, no larger than a dime, in trees across our region. The Asian long-horned beetle is destroying our trees. It burrows inside, where it literally eats our trees where they stand. Then it chews its way out, making perfectly round holes. Lots of these beetles mean lots of holes. Holes that could take away lots of our trees. Look for holes in your trees. By keeping an eye out, we can put an end to the Asian longhorned beetle and help keep our trees safe. Report the Asian longhorned beetle. Don't let it put a hole in our tree population. Report the Asian longhorned beetle. Go online at asianlonghornedbeetle.com.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 WBPM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello, Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health. Today we're talking about family medicine and how it's essential for health and wellness. Our guests are Dr. Anita Softness and Dr. Shashout Oja. So Dr. Oja, before the break, we were talking about the importance of patients and healthcare providers collaborating in patients taking ownership and, you know, really being an active partner in that. I'd like to go to what patients can do with respect to enhancing communications with their physician, and how can they be better prepared to optimize each visit. So what would, from your perspective, what would be the things that you would advise them to do in terms of letting you know what's going on with them and when they come in?
Yeah. So, you know, collaboration is very essential in family medicine because it empowers patients to take an active role in their care. So what patients can do is they should essentially come prepared with questions that really helps minimize, you know, the amount of times they walk out the door and they're like, oh, I forgot to ask this. Or when they go home and they ask their, you know, significant other, you know, or the significant other at home tells them, did you remember to ask him about this medication? And so we can remove a lot of that by coming prepared with questions. And, you know, a lot of the times patients are very nervous in asking certain questions, but we're your doctor. This is a confidential conversation. Everything we talk just stays between us. Feel free to ask whatever you're concerned about. And then come with a list of symptoms or changes in your health, because I know there's a lot of things that happen and a lot of people have difficulty bringing that up at the time of our interaction. So if you just come prepared with a list of questions and keeping a note of your symptoms, that really, really helps. And also keeping track of medications, you know, which medication was changed when, or when did you stop taking this, or and any other lifestyle changes that you've had. Did you, you know, recently move? Did you recently get a new job? I know it sounds minor in the grand scheme of things as far as health goes, but it really isn't, because that really gives us some insight on what's going on in your life. You know, people forget that stress plays a huge role in your health as well. So just knowing, you know, major life changes, you know, and just keeping an open and honest communication, that really allows us to better tailor care for you.
And from your perspective, is it okay that patients look up, use online, you know, reputable online sources to maybe look up a little bit about what's going on with them in terms of, I know that, you know, information on the internet can be misleading at times, but if it's from a reputable source, do you mind if they talk about that, or if they come in with a little bit of that based on, you know?
You know, it is 2024. It's really hard to get away from technology these days, and you know, it's good to have technology in hand, but you really shouldn't change you know, major life decisions depending on what you read on the internet. So I'm all for learning, I'm all for gaining more information from the internet, but I don't think you should make a health decision until you talk to your doctor. I think it's totally fine to go learn, do what you need to do, but one, don't start promoting that information to your other loved ones just because you read it, and then two, please talk to somebody that like a doctor or somebody that in the medical field that can further, you know, educate or converse with you regarding that topic first.
So let's switch gears for a moment, if we can, to talk about chronic conditions. And chronic conditions are, you know, things like diabetes, like, you know, maybe heart disease or those types of things. What is there like a general protocol? I know every chronic condition is different, but in terms of managing chronic conditions, in terms of what, you know, what kind of guidelines you follow and what you advise patients to do?
Well, chronic conditions, as you said, are all really different. And so it's hard to generalize, but most chronic conditions are managed by a combination of medication and, let's say, lifestyle changes like diet and exercise. So when we manage chronic conditions, I think it's one of the things that family medicine really does well, because a lot of the success of that management is based on the doctor-patient relationship. And if the patient really trusts the physician, then they're more likely to be willing to try a new medication or be willing to follow some advice, which can be challenging. So by building those relationships over time, we have a better chance of actually impacting, you know, the health outcomes. And I think the one thing I really would recommend patients do is, you know, there's so many medications, you know, there are medications that come out so frequently, and it's hard for patients to take a lot of medications. And so it's kind of that balance and finding the medications, the least number of medications that really can improve a patient's health. And I think it's important for patients, if they really don't want to take a medication or having a side effect or just really nervous about it, to be honest. Because I think one of the things that is the most challenging experience for us is when we prescribe medications and think the patient's taking them and there aren't, because they're having side effects, or it's too many, or they couldn't afford them, or they couldn't, you know, their copays. So I just think being honest, and your doctor's not going to get angry at you if you can't take all the medications. They really want to know what makes sense for you and what the challenges and barriers are. And they want to work out a plan that meets every patient's individual circumstances. So I think that open communication for chronic illnesses is more important than for anything else, because these are illnesses that the patient is going to be living with for the rest of their life. So they need to come up with a way to manage them that's, you know, that's not too burdensome.
This is something I always wonder. You know, my doctor, it turns out, is a friend, which is really a huge advantage, because, you know, I feel really even more comfortable with, you know, a trusted person, right? But I think for many people, you know, maybe the time that they get with their family physician or specialist is, you know, maybe, you know, 15 minutes, maybe or whatever it might be during a visit. Do you find it challenging to really get to know and understand where a patient is at physically and mentally and where they are in that continuum of illness and healing?
I think the 15-minute time period is really, really challenging for all of us. The one thing that benefits us in a residency practice is that a lot of the residents actually get more time because they're in training. So the first years get 45 minutes and the second years get 30 minutes. So we do residency training is, you know, we do get a little cushion and it allows some of the patients to, you know, have more opportunity to communicate and to actually say what's on their mind. And because often in 15 minutes, things get cut off. But for, you know, senior physicians who do have 15 minutes, I think the one thing that can over time, you know, make that work is just the continuity of care. So, you know, one 15-minute visit is really not enough, but we do try to get patients, especially those with chronic conditions, to come in frequently, especially when the chronic conditions are not well controlled. I really will try to encourage patients to come in like once a month, or even if they're willing to do it even more frequently, just to establish that relationship. And slowly but surely, we kind of address all of the concerns and all the, you know, chronic diseases are complicated. So it's a complicated thing to manage. And we can do that over time more successfully.
Right. So you mentioned residents. What is a resident program and how does it work? So from med school to that, to wherever they're going next.
Yeah. So residents are doctors that have finished medical school. So we have a medical degree. But essentially we're not full blown attendings yet. Right. So we're still training under more advanced doctors, like an attending, like Dr. Softness here is one of my mentors. She's an attending doctor and she oversees all the residents that work in the outpatient facility. So we have a year one resident, which are called interns as well. And then there's level two residents and level three residents. So, and you go from level one to level two after 1 year. So 1 year of residency is the intern year. Year two of residency is your second year of residency. And year three is your third year, right? And those are the senior residents, the third year residents. So I'm currently a senior resident. I've been through, you know, the process. So seeing a resident is from a patient's perspective is actually kind of nice. It's nice because we are also very much on top of all the new age information because we're still learning, right? So we're still reading up on things, all the latest and greatest updates. So that's the one benefit of definitely seeing a residency program.
Mm-hmm. Now, New Vance has a new family practice center right here in Kingston and Ulster County. Where exactly is that located and how do people, before we run out of time, how do people reach out to you and make an appointment?
Well, we're at 1240 Ulster Avenue, which is in the old Macy's building in the Kingston Medical Mall. The building is actually a New Vance building and our primary care practice is located in the back of the building. A lot of patients may know the building already because they have a radiology and a laboratory there and some of the specialty offices are there. So,
Hudson Valley Mall, right? Right next, right where the old Macy's is. So
exactly. Near where I guess there's a Target and a book still there.
Old Best Buy.
Yes, where the Best Buy used to be. Now there's
Spirit,
a
Halloween shop.
Yeah. So, should I give you our phone number?
Yeah, please do.
It's 845-443-8725.
Wonderful. Well, Dr. Softness, Dr. Oja, thank you to you and your colleagues for all the great work you do on behalf of our community. We really appreciate you and we welcome you, the new practice, and we're glad to have you. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for the time.
And you're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.